listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Azar. Pedro. Azar!
Chelsea 2-1 winners today over Manchester City as they continue their ascent and keep their lead at the top of the Premier League. Coming up is a great event this weekend. We'll make that April 22nd. Do you love donuts and helping hungry Houston kids? The third annual Shipley's Donut Dash benefiting kids' meals will be Saturday, April 22nd with a two-mile course featuring a donut-themed obstacle, a bunch of different obstacles on a family-friendly route near downtown Houston. It's the sweetest fun run in town brought to you by Shipley's Donuts. But coming on to talk about the event and giving you more details about it, good friend of mine, she's with Fox Sports, Denise Jankowski. Denise, thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
I'm very good, and I'm smiling ear to ear because my good friend Denise is on my radio show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
All right, well, I'm giving you the platform and Shipley's Donuts the platform for this great event that's going to benefit Kids Meals.
You know, I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with Kids Meals, but Kids Meals is the nation's only Meals on Wheels program for preschoolers. And we serve 2,800 kids a day a healthy and nutritious lunch that they would otherwise not have access to. If you think about kids who are in school and underprivileged or at risk of hunger, they have access to free breakfast, reduced lunch. But preschoolers who aren't in school yet don't have that opportunity. So Shipley Donuts, the Shipley family, Lawrence Shipley and his family, have been so generous to Kids Meals, and 3 years ago they developed this Shipley Donut Dash. And when someone asked me if I would be willing to help out, I said, tell me a little bit about the event. And they said, well, there's free donuts and there's free beer. And I'm like, sign me up. So it is, like you said, a two-mile family-oriented fun run / walk where families dress up as donuts or donut holes and just kind of do a very kind of family-oriented ramble around downtown Houston. And the kind of the tie-in with Soccer Matters is it starts at BBVA Compass Stadium in front of it where the Dynamo play, and then it ends up at Ace Wonder Brewery 2 miles later. So it's just fun. We hope you guys will come out. We hope your listeners will help us support the kids with kids meals. And for every $1.82 we raise, we buy a kid lunch.
So, Denise, is there where do people go for information? I mean, do they have to sign up to be a part of it? How does that work?
It helps if people will register in advance.
Yeah.
The website is ShipleyDonuts-.com. So Shipley is singular, and then donuts is plural. So ShipleyDonuts-.com. It's $30 for adults, $20 for kids. And we're going to have a lot of fun activities out there.
Get down and support it. Yeah, get down and support it. Again, Denise mentioning this is April 22nd. It's the third annual Shipley's Donuts Dash benefiting kids' meals. It's a great cause. Two-mile course featuring donut-themed obstacles on a family-friendly route, starting at BBVA Compass Stadium, ending at 8th Wonder, and it's the sweetest fun run in town. Denise, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much. Have a good show.
All right. That's Denise Jankowski, and we thank her and doing good work in the community there, as is Shipley. So thanks to them. Okay. So I want to remind you, the Dynamo, when they took on Pachuca, they did this. Let's see. This was back in 2007. And you remember the Dynamo won at home. Brian Ching, Chris Wondolowski. Wondolowski got a late goal. But I'll never forget that game because Pachuca totally came out with a lack of respect for the Dynamo. And the Dynamo were up for the moment. And Pachuca got really slow starting in this thing. And by the time they got into the game, they were kicking people. And it ended up a 2-0 Dynamo win. And it was a very comprehensive, real win for them. Down in Pachuca was another story. But as my good friend Victor pointed out to me, if away goals were a part of it, the Dynamo would have advanced. Because in regulation, they lost 4-2, but they scored the two road goals. But at that time, in the CONCACAF Cup, they had extra time, and Pachuca would go on to win 5-2. In that one, Mullen and Ching getting the goals down there. And you remember Gabriel Caballero, he had two, and Christian Chaco Jimenez had three for Pachuca. So that was a wild game down there. Based on, it's just too bad there weren't the road goals. But I have to go back to what FC Dallas did. I think it was one of the most controlled performances I've seen from a Major League Soccer team. We also have tonight Chivas and Monterrey in the Copa MX semifinals. That's starting in about 20 minutes. That's a great watch here tonight, but I would listen to this show. Don't go there. Don't leave yet, because what we have coming up is Carly Lloyd. We have Norman Whiteside coming up. We also have coming up a great interview with Kai Kamara, where he says he's jealous of Kubo Torres for the hat trick. So we're going to keep starting it up here. And our thanks to Liberty Kitchen for bringing in the food here tonight. We've got some great interviews to come. This is the Best in Soccer Talk, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Before we take a Bud Light break, quick moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Doesn't matter what your accident is, just call the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for Liberty Kitchen, who have been so kind to bring in food here tonight. Think of it as modern American comfort food, classics taken up several notches, great burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried. It's farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claim on and owns. Big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen staples, deviled eggs, which were brought in here tonight with this beautiful apple bacon sauce. And then they do deviled eggs topped with fried oysters. Dixie fried chicken Creole gumbo. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Liberty Kitchen locations, Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, Treehouse, Memorial City. All right, time now. Part two, Norman Whiteside, the legendary manager, legendary striker of Manchester United, coming to town for a pediatric cancer event in June. I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of this part two with Norman Whiteside. Now, obviously, this is pretty interesting because I absolutely remember you back in a time here in the United States where you didn't get a lot of games on TV. But I absolutely remember you as the 17-year-old at the World Cup, which struck a major chord with me. There's no doubt about it. And I was actually up in Northern England in the summer with some of my college teammates, staying with an FA coach named Stan Nixon, who, you know, I watched all the World Cup games at his house in 82, so it's indelibly etched in my mind. It was an amazing experience to be over there. But I guess then you're in your second World Cup at 21. How was the second World Cup different? You did score against Algeria in that one. How was the second one different than the first one?
Well, for a start, we had Brazil in our group.
That'll make it different.
Yeah, we had Spain again, actually. We had Spain and Brazil and Algeria, and I managed to score against Algeria. And it's very funny, actually. Bran Robson, in 1982, scored for England in 27 seconds, and he got a solid goal watch. But they give out 10 watches every World Cup, and I scored against Algeria. And this girl tried to follow me around for about 3 or 4 months after the World Cup. And all she wanted to do was give me a watch because I actually scored the 9th fastest goal in the Mexico World Cup. And I've still got it on my arm as I speak. So that was nice, but completely different playing against Brazil. It was like running around like a headless chicken. It was just so good, so comfortable. So we did our best, but obviously if, as we said over and over again, just qualifying for the World Cup is our final, really.
Norman Whiteside, former Manchester United legend. He's going to be here in Houston on June 16th. It's cccfund.org. This is the charity that it's going to benefit. It's a full meal raffle. We're going to have auction items. But most importantly, we're going to hear from Norman Whiteside, all these great stories and where the game is at, get his opinion. Also, Bobby Tambling of Chelsea. You can get tickets at 281-812-4805, 281-812-4805. Post-career, Norman, was it tough for you? Because, you know, a lot of athletes, you know, you're never going to be in the limelight like that. It may not live up to it. How has post-career been for you?
Yeah, it's been quite good, actually. It was difficult in the beginning. I had to go back to school, and then I had to go back to university and educate myself. And then I made a brand new start. As a podiatrist, so I'm a qualified podiatrist. I had to go around all the clubs in the English league and screen all the young kids from 16 years old, how they run, how they walk, how their posture was. So that was a completely different thing, but kept me involved in the game for a number of years. So I really enjoyed that, but that was very difficult going back to school after having the hype of playing for Manchester United and playing in Europe, playing in World Cups, and completely different, but I suppose it's something you've got to adopt. You know, you've got to adopt and get on with life and don't feel sorry for yourself.
Is it easy for the famous athlete to, you know, just get seduced by the adulation and kind of live on their past history as opposed to moving on and then creating a sort of a second career and a second stage of your life?
It's actually a bit of both, believe it or not, because even I'm sitting here now, I'll be going down to Old Trafford at the weekend, and I've been doing the corporate there for 25 years or whatever, and you go into the room and you get your round of applause and you tell it, you know, answer a few questions and things like that. But then I could also, 2 hours after the game, I could jump on our local metro system and get back to where I live. And not many people would bother me. There'd be a few people say, hello, Norman, and a couple of photographs. But, you know, I probably get the best of both worlds. I can go into Manchester and go to London and places, and you get the odd person looking at you, but pretty much I'm left alone. So I can get my adulation if I want, doing dinners and doing Old Trafford corporate stuff. But also, you know, if I want to go to a library or if I want to go, you know, out for a meal, I'm pretty much left alone. So I get the best of both.
So reliving all these moments when people like me are asking you these questions and you're coming to the events, is there something healthy about it for you as well when you reflect and talk about these things? And sometimes do you kind of walk away going, wow, you know, I'm thinking about that situation maybe a little bit differently than when I actually went through it as a younger person?
Not really, because, I mean, to be honest, most of the questions are pretty similar. You know, favorite goals, hard players, best managers. You know, a lot of questions are a bit more detailed than that, like that. So people say, well, do you change? Well, I find it difficult to change things when you've only had one career. You know, you can't really make a story up. You know, and actually, I did play for Manchester United when I was 16. I can't change that. And, you know, these are the stories that I tell because that's what happened to me. I don't make things up.
Norman Whiteside, Manchester United. He will be in Houston. It's going to be a wonderful night on June 16th. 281-812-4805 for tickets. How much did injury define your career at the end? And is that partially the reason that you moved back into midfield?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I always thought to be a top-class forward, you needed speed. And that was one thing that I lacked in my game was pace. So I went back into midfield, and I had a decent football brain, and I could see that, as we would call it, you can see the big picture, and I would be able to give the forwards passes that I would like to receive, because I'd played up front, and then I knew how difficult it was. So it was sort of a blessing in disguise, really. But obviously, then, you know, I only played a few years in there before I had to finish with my bad knee.
Well, Norman, listen, we are really, really excited that you're coming down here. I want to thank you for jumping on the phone with us and just talking about what's been a remarkable career and odyssey for you in the game. We're looking forward to your visit in Houston. And again, thank you very much. And tell your wife, Denise, thank you very much also for helping to arrange the interview. We appreciate it.
We're looking forward to it immensely. The only time I've been to Houston is on our way to the Mexico World Cup. We stopped over.
Well, this is going to be a good reunion, and I can assure you the city's a little different than then. You're going to love it down here. Thank you very much,
Norman. Absolutely. Thanks very much.
All right. That's Norman Whiteside. And again, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring is here, so get out on a patio, post up at the pool, or come out to a Dynamo game. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of the Houston Dynamo and sponsor of Soccer Matters, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And that night with legendary Manchester United striker is June 16th with Norman Whiteside. CCCFund.org will be the recipients. Phone number 281-812-4805. Get your tickets for the Norman Whiteside Bobby Tambling of Chelsea event in Houston to benefit pediatric cancer.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Big moment here for one of our big sponsors, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-4878. It doesn't matter if you have a car, boat, motorcycle, industrial construction, you might work at a plant or a refinery here in Houston, or an 18-wheeler accident, the Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24-7, fight for your right for compensation with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT or DaspitLaw.com. All right, one of my favorite interviews over the years has always been Kai Kamara, whether he was on Sporting Kansas City, Columbus, New England, or as a Dynamo player. Has always been a great interview because he is a guy that's not afraid to speak his mind and not just toe the company line per se. He joins us now. Kai, thank you very much for coming on.
Hello, Glenn. Thanks again for having me. I feel like it's the yearly thing we do all the time, so I like it.
We do, and I like it too, and we appreciate you coming on the show. I love your joie de vivre for the game. I love the fact that you go out to enjoy yourself. Yes, you're a model professional and you're working hard, but you go out to enjoy the game, and I think fans pick up on the fact that you have a light side and you love the entertainment side of being on display as a professional athlete.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're blessed to really, you know, be called, you know, to call ourselves professional athlete. There's many people that want to be in our shoes and people working hard every day. For me, you know, it's a joy, you know, because I've worked so hard to be where I'm at today. So I want to cherish every moment of it. And I want, you know, the kid that's on the outside that, you know, that's working hard to come in. It's not just all about the hard work. I want them to also know that, you know, you really have to enjoy it. You have to have fun, because when you're doing both of those things, then everything plays itself out.
I remember, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but I remember in 2009, you were traded to the Kansas City Wizards. And when you were in Sporting Kansas City, I remember you organized a snowball fight up there in Kansas City, and like fans came and you did it, so it kind of went a little bit viral. And I just thought, man, this guy's a marketing dream. Did Sporting Kansas City know they were getting this as well?
No, that was it's great that you bring that back. I mean, that's so me, you know. It's so me. It was just something. I never had a snowball fight, you know. I didn't grow up in snow. Growing up in Africa, obviously there was no snow. When I moved to the U.S., I lived in California, so still not that much snow unless you go up in the mountains. So when I got the chance to be in Kansas City, and that one time I just sent out one tweet, and a couple people replied, and the next minute it was a fun snowball fight. And not just that, and we all went down to Chipotle after, and we had a good meal.
That's awesome. Now, by the way, now you grew up in Sierra Leone, and you didn't have snow there, and of course you're using your feet there. Can you throw? Can you throw a snowball?
I'm decent. You know, I think being in America for the amount of time I've been here, I threw a pitch once. I didn't miss it, so I guess I could say I'm decent.
That's great. Kai Kamara also spent two seasons at Cal State Dominguez Hills. All right, you know, I still have people that come up to me down here in Houston, okay? You were traded in 2009. That's quite a while ago. You spent seven seasons, Kansas City, then two in Columbus. Now you're in New England for the second year. People still come up to me and say, man, I wish we never traded Kai Kamara.
There's a lot of things, you know, that even to myself, you know, I wish, you know, in my career, to say I would have played for Columbus the whole time I was there, my first time around in 2006 and 2007,
mm-hmm.
or when we, you know, when I moved to San Jose, or even when I was when I was in Houston, because I feel like actually being in Houston, the time I was in Houston, that's one of the best teams I've really played with. The veteran guys that I had around me, you know, for Brighton Chain, Dwayne Delisario, Wade Barrett, and Wyball. I mean, I can name all these guys. It was just the right locker room, championship mentality, you know, and coaching staff of John Spencer and Dominic Kinnear. I learned so much just being there. And, you know, not to take away from the younger guys, you know, Holden, Cameron. I mean, I can name on and on. And we really had such a good time, you know, together over there. But then that's part of the business, you know. You're not going to, not many players can say they play for one team their whole career. And I'm definitely not one of those guys. I mean, obviously, it's shown. And I don't look at it as anything being negative. I look at it as, you know, I'm just spreading my love around. I'm going to different places, making friends, and, you know, in different towns, different cities, and, you know, just being part of different organizations and really seeing how a different organization is run, you know, from the inside, from the field to the front office and all that. Because when I'm part of a team, you know, even when I was in Houston, I show up to the front office. You know, I hang out with people in the front office and I see what they do, because I'm not just a player. I used to be a fan. You know, when I used to work at the Home Depot Center for Los Angeles Galaxy, you know, and being a fan and going out there and cheering them on. So I'm not just a professional soccer player. So I used to, you know, I see all the outside of it too. So I love being part of all these different organizations that I've been part of.
You mentioned a lot of great names there on Houston and brought back some good memories. 2009, when you were with the Dynamo, you started 20 games. You had 5 goals, you had an assist, and at that point, these were some of your best numbers, and it was the season you had really broken through and were playing a lot, 1,780 minutes. Did you feel in 2009 this was the time that you were beginning to come into your own as a player, and then all of a sudden you get traded to Kansas City?
Definitely. Like I said, you know, being in that place there, being in that locker room and playing for Dominic Kinnear, and not just him, you know, being with John Spencer, who was, you know, one of the top strikers that played in this league and he's played overseas. I really felt right, you know. I really felt right learning from Brian Chain. You know, I was feeling really good, you know, but then it was business when it came down to it, because, you know, a player like Landin came in, and, you know, I think he was a DP and it's somebody that needed to play. So, you know, I couldn't be on the same team if, you know, a player of his caliber that was coming onto the team that needed to play. So I had to move. And, you know, moved on to Kansas City and played in Kansas City some of the best years of my career. So I learned a lot from that period of time I was in Houston. But, yes, maybe it was the wrong time that I got traded, because, you know, the next 4 years in Kansas City became, you know, my best 4 years in MLS.
Before we get to Kansas City, were you shocked when you were told you were being traded? And was it just totally about Luis Landin coming in?
Yeah.
I mean, were you sidewalled? Did you see this coming?
Landin was in already, you know. I was shocked. Definitely I was shocked, because I was really feeling, you know, my production was getting better. You know, I was feeling I had really good players around me, you know, like I said, you know, mentioning, you know, the Holdens and the Cameron and, you know, Ash with the delivery. I was just feeling like everything was right. And, you know, I was enjoying that mentality of, you know, championship mentality, like I say, with those guys, the veteran guys that was in that locker room. You know, I felt like, okay, I'm definitely going to establish myself now. And so I was shocked to move. And at that time, Kansas City was, you know, at the bottom of the league. They were one of the worst teams in MLS during those times. So to say you're leaving Houston Dynamo to go to Kansas City Wizards, I don't think anybody else would be happy with that.
Well, you I remember you definitely weren't. You definitely weren't. I remember you reacting, going, this is, I don't want to go to Kansas City.
No, Peter Vermes called me, and then I told him literally, I said, you're wasting your money to buy me a flight to come to Kansas City. I am not coming. And obviously, you know, he talked me into it, to going from that trade, and yeah.
Turned out to be very good. You go there the first year, you score, let's see, 2010, you had 10 goals. You had 9 in 2011. 2012, another 11. And then this prompts a move for you to England and gives you a chance that many don't get. Tell us about it.
Yeah. And that's all from, you know, not even being a center striker anymore. Now I was playing, you know, wide left or wide right as a winger. So I was just learning so much. You know, moving to England, you know, it's a dream. And when it came down to it, you know, I sat down with Peter, and we talked about it with Rob Heineman, and it's a dream for everyone. Everybody wants to go play in the top leagues in the world, so when that opportunity came by, it was something I had to experience, and I went out there and I did that, and I lived that dream. And, you know, coming back and playing in the first team that drafted me in Columbus, it was also another dream to say, you know what, now I feel like I'm at the prime of my career, and I'm about to play for a team that I only scored, 8 goals for in 2 years. So now it's time to, you know, revamp and do better, and which I did in 2015.
Yeah, there's no doubt you did. Before we get to that year, because you had some unbelievable numbers that year, playing in that three set, which you know now, you're playing a completely different Houston Dynamo this coming weekend. We're talking to Kai Kamara here of the New England Revolution. I loved you in that three set for Sporting Kansas City because, yeah, you could play as a wide guy, but you also got into the box a lot and were a target, and you interchanged positions. It was exciting, and you guys suffocated teams.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that system was good. You know, it's really good when players can come together and believe in the system, you know, because it was tough. There was, you know, 2010, there was tough times where we played first 11 games or 10 games and not getting the win. You know, it was really tough. You know, coaches saying, this is the system we want to play. We want to high press. We want to do this. And then winning the ball closer to, you know, the opponent's half so we can get ourselves into good positions to score goals. It was tough because, you know, it comes into the 65, 70th minute, we're all tired because we're pressing so much. But when everything clicked, when we were really into it and we kind of really got the formation correctly, we were unstoppable. You know, I don't remember what's the record, but we went many games unbeaten.
Yeah.
And all those things just, we worked out really well. It was, you know, younger guys that was really hungry and really ready to play. And, you know, to be honest with you, that's kind of what I see right now with Houston, and I'm scared of. You know, they're guys that's really, you know, energetic, and they're moving all over the place, and it looks like they're really enjoying to play with each other on the field.
Kai Kamara joining us, New England Revolution. They'll take on the Houston Dynamo this weekend. We'll have the game on the Cube 57. Eddie Robinson and I will be on the call for that game. Pre-game show will start at 12:30. Kai, I just want to take you into playing that system. How did it change for you when you are on Sporting Kansas City, when you got into the heat? You know, because obviously you just can't put that sort of work ethic and physical effort into that game after game. There has to be lulls in a game where you hold the ball. How did you have to change a little bit in the months of June, July, and, you know, these heavy heat months?
Yeah, it was tough, and it was something I battled with Peter Vermes on a lot, that I didn't want to play in the wide position and all that. You know, I mean, the system was tough, which means it's more running and all this, and he says, listen, you're more dangerous when you're facing goal, so I want to see that. And, you know, it means you have to run more. And but when it clicks well, you know, when, you know, the right wingers are working the same as, you know, as the right back, or, you know, left side, the same thing, and you guys have a good relationship with the midfielders, then it was just like, it was perfect. You know, it comes to the summertime. Obviously, that's where it all comes down. And I believe the summertime in this league and MLS, it's really about players that's playing in MLS for a couple of years, players that understand this league. You know, obviously, are the players that's going to produce a lot more. because that's the hard time of the season. You know, it's the summertime, it's the heat, and now you know about, you know, what Houston is like, what, you know, what the heat in Dallas is going to be like, what the heat in New York and D.C. So, you know, most of us kind of were able to adapt a lot faster to these games and, you know, during this time of the year.
By the way, Kai Kamara, 22 goals, 8 assists for Columbus. They went to the MLS Cup in 2015. Unbelievable. All right, now with the New England Revolution, you've also got a ton of attacking pieces. I mean, there's all kinds of attackers on this team, and I just see a game that with the amount of attacking players on the field and the styles of the team, I mean, it could be very consistent with what we have seen with the Dynamo, which is every game's been entertaining and every game's been open. Are you guys going to try to make this a less open game?
Yeah, I mean, you can say the same thing, just like you just said. You know, the kind of attacking force that, you know, Houston have at the moment. Like I said, those guys are scoring goals. You know, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of Torres getting the hat trick. And but you know, that's what you do when, you know, players and teams are playing well and they're understanding each other. We do have a really good front five. I say, you know, not even just a three. A front five, anybody can score, and that's where it becomes dangerous. You know, we want to score. Houston wants to score. You know, hopefully, we're not as spread out as they're going to be when it comes down to it.
Well, Kai, listen, as always, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love how open you are. You're always an A++ interview, and we do thank you for it. And I know everybody will have loved listening to you tonight.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, and it's nice. It's nice being on the show again. Yeah, we'll talk some more. Maybe if it's not, you know, later on this year, then definitely it has to be next year again.
I think it's not going to be next year. We're going to do it a little bit sooner, and we're going to talk all other topics in soccer as well. You know, we'll talk some Premier League. We'll just go around the world with Kai Kamara. How about that?
That would be great.
All right. Thank you, Kai. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Glenn Davis here, host of Soccer Matters, reminding you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring is here. Get out on a patio, post up at the pool. That's what Tyler Scott does. Or come out to a Dynamo game. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of the Houston Dynamo and sponsor of Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. Love that guy, Kai Kamara. What a great interview.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Carly Lloyd, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
Hey, soccer fans, the Real Soccer Pub in Edo, the King's Court right next to BBVA Compass Stadium, 9-3 Hutchins, the corner of Walker and Hutchins, 13 TVs at King's Court is the place to be, kingscourttexas.com. Joining us now, as the United States Women's National Team comes to town this weekend, they will take on Russia here, two-time FIFA World Player of the Year, Carly Lloyd joining us now. Carly, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I guess I'm going to get right into Manchester City because I think everybody's really intrigued about your move going over there. We know you made this move as a professional move. You wanted to experience different things. That's what we've sort of read in the press. Just talk to us a little bit about the move to Manchester City and maybe the stretch it provides you as not only a person but as a player.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's obviously multiple reasons. I think for a number of years I've been so committed to our league here in the U.S., being a part of the WPS and now the NWSL, and our years have mostly been, you know, very busy with World Cups and Olympics, and this year presented a unique and different opportunity. Obviously, you know, I kind of had to think, you know, long and hard about it and make sure it was the right fit, but, you know, it has been the right fit. And kind of all the stars have aligned. You know, it's a great club, great group of players, great manager. Overall, just a fantastic environment to be in. And it's another opportunity for me to take part in Champions League, FA Cup, and just continue to improve my game. So, you know, I'm always looking for ways to to keep myself improving, and this was a big thing for me. And then I'm able to come back and, you know, support the NWSL and play for Houston as well. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win.
What's invigorating and exciting about it? Different coaching, the FA Women's Super League, playing with different players that you haven't played with? Is it all the above? What is it?
It's all the above. It's, you know, living overseas. While I live in different cities in the U.S., being overseas is different. You know, it's a five-hour time change. I'm away from my husband, away from, you know, all of my comfortable settings. And, it's an opportunity to play with different players, you know, players in the league, especially obviously on my team, are very technical. You know, they take pride in their technical ability. They read the game very well, so it's been fun to be able to take part in that. And you know, hasn't taken me too long to get really comfortable with how they play. And the coaching is great as well. Nick's a great manager, as well as the rest of the coaching staff. And it's honestly just a great organization to be a part of. You know, just something that they've had a philosophy for a number of years, and they've really gone out and gotten it done with their clubs all over the world.
Carly Lloyd joining us here on ESPN Radio Soccer Matters. We appreciate her time. You strike me as somebody that's constantly testing yourself and trying to get out of the comfort zone. Is this one of the out of the comfort zone moves here?
It is, yeah. It's, you know, obviously the time frame of my career, I'm not, you know, somebody who's just starting out with the national team, and, you know, I'm a little bit more established and sort of at the end of my era, as you may say. And this is, you know, something that I may not get the opportunity to do during the remainder of my time playing for the next three years or so. So, yeah, it definitely is. And it's only a couple of months, and there's other challenges with it. Obviously, the Champions League and being able to take part in that. So it's been good, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. I think I've taken full advantage of the facilities. The facilities are unbelievable, world-class. I pretty much live at the facility all day doing extra stuff and just taking, you know, advantage of everything so I can improve as a player.
Do you run into the Manchester City men's players? I know Pep Guardiola has attended one of your games. How about that, just crossing paths with them? Because, you know, we always talk here in the United States about younger players crossing paths with full-blown pros. In this case, does that enhance your game a little bit? Obviously, I know you're a student of the game and you watch a lot of games. You're probably watching City consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I watch as many games as I possibly can. I love it. I was able to go to the Man City-Liverpool match. I actually live in the same apartment complex as Pep and some of the other men's players. I ran into Pep numerous, you know, a couple times on the elevator. He's actually texted me good luck and congratulations after our last Champions League game. So it's, you know, it's nice to be around, you know, one of the world's best coaches in the game. And I've obviously watched his era at Barcelona and what he did with that team. And to just see how humble and classy he is to take time out of his day to talk to me and come to our game and watch. It's pretty cool. You know, you really do feel like a family at Man City, and it's something really special. And, you know, I'll continue to be a student of the game and watch as many games as I can. You know, it's very important to me, but it's getting a taste of the culture over there. You know, they live and breathe the game of football. It's a different feeling when you're playing over there and you're over there versus when you're home playing in the U.S. It's just, it's the culture, and it's just amazing to be able to be a part of it.
Carla, let's talk about the FA Women's Super League. How is it different, you think, from the NWSL? I know you've mentioned the technical side of it a lot. What strikes you as being different from playing in the NWSL and maybe allows you to work on a part of your game that you want to work on that maybe you don't get to work on as much over here playing in the NWSL?
Yeah, well, I think in the NWSL, you know, every team across the board on any given day can pick up 3 points. You know, there's not too much separation from team to team. The Super League over in England, there is still a little bit of a gap from some of the top teams like us, Chelsea and Arsenal, and you know, Birmingham's doing better, Liverpool's doing better as well. But there's still that little bit of a drop off. I would say the league is still pretty physical. It's maybe not as much of a transition game as the NWSL is. NWSL is probably, you know, obviously more of a back and forth, high energy, whereas, you know, the league in England, you know, at Man City, we like to play, we like to build out of the back. So there's, you know, definitely some similarities, and there's definitely some differences as well. You know, playing with players who read the game really well, and you know, or have a, you know, just a knack for kind of knowing the game, and it's good. And I think it's the stage of my career right now is just really about getting games and getting into that rhythm and just trying to continue to take my game to new levels. That's kind of the focus here, and make a mark there, you know, create some waves and try to win a Champions League and an FA Cup and the Spring Series as well. Those are the goals.
Carly Lloyd joining us here, ESPN 97.5. Your goalkeeper in Manchester City, I read in an article, Karen Bardsley mentioned that just your arrival made her teammates realize that they can take things up another level, both personally as a club. And I would imagine this is music to your ears, right? Because this is the type of influence you would have wanted to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I'm just, you know, I'm being me, you know, I'm not over there trying to be somebody different or, thinking that, you know, because was named the best player in the world that I can just coast along. You know, that's not me. That's not how I'm wired. And I think, you know, in the NWSL, you see many players who, you know, show up to training as close as they can to when it starts. They train, and then as soon as training's done, they leave. And they go about their day. With, you know, me being at Man City and the culture and what they do, you know, we have breakfast together, we train, we have lunch together. Everybody usually goes home and I stick around, hang out for a little bit, bring a book, bring, you know, my laptop, and I go back out onto the field and I do extra work. And I think that it's, they haven't really seen that as much. Even at the academy level and some of my players, I think they've been a little shocked to see that, you know, the work continues, and then I'll go home in the evening and go to bed and repeat it the next day. So I think me just being there, you know, is helping to inspire others. And if I can do that, I think that's a great sense of pride and feeling, knowing that I'm having an impact, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it, because everybody's been pretty outspoken about that. So you think you've shocked them, basically, with the extent of your workload and your ethic. And it's probably something they've never seen from a player before.
Yeah, I know that players work hard and they do extra stuff, but there's something to be said to really actually do it and stick around and you know, just find ways of continuing to get better. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. You know, I'm there for a job. My job is to play football. My job is to continue to get better and continue to help the team win. And, you know, there's really not much else I have going on there. You know, I just go back to my apartment and I probably throw on a Netflix series and that's that. So I'd be pretty stupid not to take advantage of all of the resources and everything that I have. You know, they have almost 17 pitches there. They've got gyms, they've got ice baths, you know, hot baths, you name it, they've got it. And I've been taking full advantage of everything.
All right, so that was part one with Carly Lloyd. That's how we finish it up here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We'll give you part two next week. More with Carly Lloyd. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Thanks for Liberty Kitchen bringing in their wonderful food here tonight. Dylan Remick in studio. Also, Kai Kamara joining the show as well. And everybody from Liberty Kitchen for supporting us here tonight. That'll do it. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Until next Wednesday, I'm Glenn Davis. Thanks for tuning in tonight.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.